It's time to know your soul. Are you seeking the you within? Has people-pleasing stressed you out? It's time to find your light so you can share your entrepreneurial gifts with the world. Well, Red Rover on over, but the only thing you're breaking through is yourself. This is Soul Amplified. Are you ready? Hello, and welcome to the Soul Amplified podcast. I am Vanessa Grace, your host. As we know, boundaries are a very important part of understanding codependency so that we can move forward and heal it. And I know I talk about boundaries a lot, but today we're going to touch on them in a way that I have not done before. And we're going to look at a specific type of boundary that an entire system has taken on, and that is the family system. And so we're going to look at fused family systems and what this really means. I'm going to go over some ways to help you understand if you are in a fused family system and some examples of people that I have worked with about how they have dealt with fused family systems. And I'm also going to touch on some parenting types that are called authoritative, permissive, authoritarian. And sometimes people throw in neglectful into that three or four set of parenting types. And I'll touch on that a little bit in relation to signs of the fused family system. So let's get into it. What exactly is this fused family system? So of course, fused means that things are together and enmeshed and that they become one. So in the fused family system, allegiance to the family is very important. And it might not just be allegiance to the family, but allegiance to the ideas that the family holds to be most important. And this set of core values is It highly drives choices and behaviors that the family makes. And this family could look a lot of different ways. They could be from all types of life, all income levels. But it is more common for fused family systems to either speak to each other frequently or to live near each other. And in more like a full-on classic example of a fused family system, they might even all live on adjacent properties or on the same property. Like if somebody owned acreage, like one person might live in the main house, and then they may have been able to divide the property in a way so that another house could be built on another area, and then someone might live in a mobile home on the property, and then maybe somebody else, another relative, owns the land next door, and then they're doing the same thing. And so it's almost like they're with each other all the time, and that can be a more like classic description of it, or even more extreme. But that doesn't have to be how it looks physically. But there is definitely frequent communication. Now, I may have just described some things that exist in your family, but that still doesn't mean that it's fused. There's other elements. So there's usually a patriarch or a matriarch in a fused family system, and they may be very, very out in the front leading decisions, or they might be more behind the scenes, almost like fog is billowing out from under them, going out around them with what, and that fog would represent like the belief systems that they're trying to instill in their family to ensure that everybody is following, you know, the way, whatever the family has decided the way is, the way that that parent or grandparent was taught. Now we're going to get into more how it is fused rather than just, because right now I'm just describing, well, that's just a well-balanced family system, right? Where they talk to each other a lot and they have a strong value set that they all agree upon. But here's where it becomes an issue. It can become an issue when there is no individuality. Individuality might be frowned upon. It might be an issue if you have an interest that's outside of the things that make sense to the family. And because everybody has bought into, we're going to be fused, that's just the way we are, without no. People that are in fused families that are part of the fusion don't understand usually that they're in a fused family. So they've chosen to go along with the values and belief systems, but they didn't necessarily realize it was fusion. And so there's the lack of individuality. And so if you attempt to do something that's outside of what's considered normal, people may look at you funny, you might get pushback, there might be an expression of sadness, or why are you leaving us? People may start saying to you things about, like, you're being so different, I feel so separate from you. But that's the enmeshment speaking. If they're trying to be the same person with you, then you having your own values or interests or opinions could feel like you were leaving them because they're not experiencing those values with you and those interests with you and those experiences with you. And so any part of you that is separate feels too far for them. And it doesn't, so the fused family system is not allowing for individuality. Or in a more mild fused family system, individuality would be allowed to a certain extent. But then when it gets too far, then you will feel the tug. And so that tug can come in the form, like I said, of an expression of sadness, or it could come in an expression of anger, and passive aggressiveness could happen. All sorts of different psychological trickery could come into play. To gaslighting can come into play to convince that person to be less individual. And so it becomes clear that when you try to become an individual and then the family has a large emotional reaction, be it blaming or trying to guilt trip you or gaslighting, like, oh, and then that cost seems very high, I'm causing my family a lot of pain. And so then maybe you shut down that individual part of yourself so that you can return to being in the fold and not causing your family pain. And so what that also is happening when you try and have an individual experience is that maybe somebody or several somebodies in the family feel betrayed. And they will express that betrayal to you verbally, or they could express that to you in the way that they behave. They could express it to you by withholding certain symbols of being in the family, like maybe not being invited to an event, or they could withhold affection, they could withhold communication. Maybe there's a tradition that you're normally involved in, but suddenly, you know, you're not the one who's doing that tradition now because you have attempted to, quote unquote, separate by doing this individual thing. And so they feel betrayed. So now you are being punished. The system of a fused family feels like your behavior is actually about them. And so everything, in the most extreme versions of a fused family system, everything is going to be about the family and nothing can exist outside of it. And so anything that is not about the family is confusing to them, and they don't understand why you would want to do anything that is outside of the family. Now, potentially the people in the family that aren't the matriarch or the patriarch, whoever that may be, the people in the family may have kind of imbued this system of beliefs as part of their own without assessing them and determining if they actually believe them, and so they could be blindly following them. Whereas if you are attempting to step outside of them, you're attempting to assess whether or not you actually believe them. And so they don't have a construct of that if you're trying to do something. And so it feels like, well, if you're trying to do something different, you are trying to leave the family. And so I don't know why you would want to leave the family, because I enjoy this family so much and I enjoy our level of closeness so much. I can't understand why you would want to leave. And so your behavior of wanting to leave isn't about you trying to find yourself. It's about you wanting to not be with them. And somehow you can get blamed for ruining the family and creating all this drama when all you wanted to do was explore an opinion that they hadn't ever held before, or try a sport that they had never held before, or date someone or marry someone that they maybe wouldn't have approved of, or would just be seen as, well, that was an interesting choice. That's outside of our vein of what our family normally chooses, you know, for themselves. And so the real issue in it is that you struggle to be an individual in this fused family system. And I'll talk about this more probably on another episode. Rigid boundaries are definitely a part of fused family systems, and that involves black and white thinking, that involves things becoming either good or bad, or people either becoming good or bad. There can be imposing views on others. So the non-patriarch, non-matriarch members of the family could have the views of the matriarch or patriarch imbued upon them. And so to survive in the family, they have just absorbed them and decided to go along with them. Like I said, maybe without having assessed them, but maybe they have assessed them and they like them. Rigid boundaries can also include having a limited perspective and struggling to really understand another person's perspective. So I'm not going to say more on that for now, because I want to do a whole other episode on that so that you can really understand rigid boundaries a lot better. So now I'd like to go into the authoritative, authoritarian, permissive, and neglectful parenting types, just touching on them so that you can see how they play into signs of the fused family system. So the authoritarian parent type is the most likely one to see represented in a fused family system. The authoritarian values obedience, and it values conformity, and it uses control and punishment to get, in this example, the children to align to that. And the standards are absolute. The rules are probably more simplified, but the punishments are maybe more severe, because the goal of the punishment is to get you to align with the values, and so it is seen as being worthwhile, because getting you to align with the values and follow the rules is the most important thing, and that will keep you on your path. Authoritative, different from authoritarian, authoritative is less about punishment and more about teaching. So teaching is to teach the child how to be an adult in the world so that they are a successful, functional person. And so an authoritative parent maybe has more rules, but they are also more likely to listen to their child's perspective and have a dialogue back and forth. And they may listen to the child but not change their mind about the consequence. And the consequence is supposed to teach the child how the world works so that they kind of have practice with natural consequences before they go out there and exist in the world, right? They're strict, but they're consistent. This one is not going to be as likely to exist in the fused family system, although there may be elements of it. Or the authoritarian matriarch or patriarch may take on characteristics of authoritative when a person starts trying to be an individual, to give them a little bit of leeway to see what happens. And then if they struggle with doing these individual things, then the authoritarian person can say, well, I tried it your way, and now you need to come back or else. And so there could be ultimatums that are said. Okay, the next parenting type is permissive, and there's not a lot of control, and there's not a lot of teaching the kid about being socialized. The kid usually has to learn on their own what things are. In some ways, this can exist with the fused family system, and in other ways, it's hard to imagine the permissive style being there, because the crux of a fused family system is having a core set of values, but if you are being permissive, those values are not important enough to the family for them to be shared with the children. And that is the main part about the fused family system. And so if there's not a lot of control and you're allowing people to make a lot of decisions, then what value set... Well, I guess as I'm talking about this, I'm discovering it. Ha ha ha. So if the value set is exploration, then individuality would be valued. And so I think the only issue that a permissive parent would have was that you were going along just to go along, which is the crux of a fused family system. So it would be hard for the permissive type to be the leader of a fused family system. So it seems that the fused family system has more likely authoritarian in its roots, with maybe mixed authoritative. And the neglectful family type is, you know, not going to be taking care of the basic needs of the children, which is an issue, but that can still have elements of the fused family system because the values could still be in existence, but could be so like ramrod central, but then they don't want to put the effort into keeping them there. They expect the children to keep themselves there. And so the consequences could actually be higher for deviating because the willingness to do punishments could be so high. So what I have seen with my clients that I have worked with who come from fused family systems, when they decide that they want to express themselves more and discover and heal the things that are going on, what they're trying to do is discover themselves separate from their family. So these might be the people that move far away to go to college. These might be the people that decide to pull back from how frequently they're involved with family dinners and holiday traditions. These might be the people that aren't talking to their family as much. Within the family, they might get labeled as the black sheep because they're doing things differently. I mean, the black sheep often has the connotation of they're running wild. And even though the person who's trying to become an individual and leave the fused family system to truly find themselves, which is usually a way to save themselves, you know, leaving them can be seen as the black sheep by the family, but they're not really necessarily doing anything destructive as society would see it. But again, the fused family system can see it as being destructive because family is central. Whereas the person attempting to leave is feeling stifled by the system. I have worked with many people who, once I started working with them and we looked at their family history, they had moved to a different state or even across the country to be away from their family. Maybe not specifically to be away from their family, although sometimes that's true, but they were okay with moving far away because they needed the distance. They needed to only be with them sometimes. They didn't know how to heal with the family constantly around them. Now, you don't have to move all the way across the country or to a different state to create the distance that you need. There are smaller ways to create the distance that I have talked about on all the other episodes of this podcast with boundary setting. But if you are attempting to no longer be fused with your family, you may have to do something dramatic. And that can be very insecure for your family to experience that because it's destabilizing the system because one of the pegs on its web has decided to not be part of it anymore. And so they have to redo the whole webbing system. And that is destabilizing and insecure. And so people react how they react when insecurity is happening. And so, again, with boundaries, you becoming an individual and setting boundaries in those ways is going to make people react, and they will want you to come back and be part of the system exactly the way that you were. But if you feel like you are dying on the vine there, you, honey, you don't have to stay there. You really don't have to. I'm hoping that you have been listening to me talk about codependency long enough that you truly and deeply understand the ways in which this whole system is codependent. And if you want to get some really good, deep, basic information about codependency, but basic and then going deep, I want you to check out my masterclass. 5 Deep Truths About Codependency, How It's Hijacking Your Life, and What You Can Do About It. I give some really clear examples of each of the points about codependency and what that looked like for that person when they were being codependent in that way, and then also what they did to heal it. There's examples from clients, there's examples from friends, there's examples from my own life, and then I go into what you need to be doing for healing. And it's such a good class to take. It's just 1 hour of your time. So if you enjoy listening to this podcast, you will certainly enjoy the masterclass. I wish everybody all the best. Everybody, go be amazing. Thanks for tuning in, Soul Sister. Do you want to hear from me more? Sign up for my Transforming Your Codependency text messages straight to your phone every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for inspiration and education. To sign up, text PEACE to 877-338-0875. To spread this message far and wide, screenshot listening to this podcast and share it on social media. Be sure to tag me. I love hearing how you're growing. Get amplified!